Zechariah 12:10. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. It's natural for us to shrink from looking too closely at the sickening torments of Christ's cross. It's also natural for us to shrink from looking too closely at how we caused this torment on the cross. And yet the Spirit in our text is directing us to look on him whom we have pierced. Note the pronoun. They will look on me. The me, verse 8 tells us, is none other than Jehovah, the Lord I am. It's the Lord of glory that was cruelly murdered for our sins. Jehovah, the Lord I am, then identifies himself here as the Messiah. And yet notice the change in pronouns, as the Father then also maintains the distinction of his person. For our text continues with Jehovah, the Lord I am, saying they will mourn, they will beat their breasts for him. In the same way, you may recall how Jesus distinguished the person of himself from the person of the Father, and yet identified them as one God, saying, I and the Father are one. Through prophecies like this, the people of Zechariah's day were able to join us at the foot of the cross, looking on the gruesome agony of his passion, his suffering for our sins, and its reason. The square spikes driven through the quivering flesh of Christ. His body jerking in pain, and then squirming like a worm on a hook, gasping for each breath of air. The darkness that surrounded him in God-forsakenness. For Zechariah 13 also foretold that sword that would then be raised against him was the Father's own sword raised against his own companion. And when that sacrifice was complete, and there was yet the fulfillment of this text, the spear thrust through his lungs or heart so that water and blood flowed forth. The Jews of Zechariah's day, and therefore also of Jesus' day, had this exact blueprint of how the Messiah would suffer and die for our sins. Isn't it astounding then that they, claiming to know the Scriptures, nevertheless fulfilled them by crucifying him? They were given every opportunity to look on him, but they would not look on him as their Savior from their sin. Oh, they looked on his death. They looked on him even with tears, but tears of joy rather than tears of sorrow, as our text says, grieving as for their own firstborn. What a warning this is to us. For it's the fatal nature of our own pride, like theirs, to think that we can possess God's grace in the wineskin of our own worth and wisdom. God will see things my way. But such a self-centered attitude is not grieving at how I pierced Christ. It's not beating my breast at my guilt causing this crucifixion. It may pity Christ, this travesty of justice, but it's not clinging to his grace. Instead, then, may you ever be among those blessed to whom Jesus says, you look on me, whom you have pierced, and your sins are forgiven and cleansed. For in repentant faith, know that I was pierced for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 151, stanzas 1 and 2.